Let us come before the Lord together in prayer and receive His blessing. Our help, Lord, is in Thy name. In Thee who hast made heavens and the earth. In Thee who keepeth truth and faithfulness. And who never forsaketh the works of Thy hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the Prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Shall we together sing of Psalter 14? And we'll sing thereof the first three verses and the seventh verse. O Lord, our Lord, in all the earth, how excellent Thy name. Psalter 14, and there are stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 7. Let us in the scriptures turn to the prophecy of Isaiah tonight. Let's read chapter 40. Very rich and very comforting chapter of God's truth to us tonight. So let us read Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert an highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice of strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor has taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burn offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. And he that is so impoverished that he has no oblation, no offering, no money, chooses a tree that will not rot. And he seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So far, the wonderful words of Isaiah 40 tonight. Let us now together make confession of faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed this evening. And let all say so in our hearts. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy, Catholic, or universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And lastly, let us read from our Canons of Dort tonight, and we are at Article 14, which is on page 99 in the back of your Psalter. We're still dealing with the subject of the divine predestination. So Article 14, as the doctrine of divine election by the most wise counsel of God was declared by the prophets, by Christ himself, and by the apostles, and is clearly revealed in the scriptures both of the Old and New Testament, so it is still to be published in due time and place in the Church of God, for which it was peculiarly designed, provided it be done with reverence, in the spirit of discretion and piety, for the glory of God's most holy name, and for the enlivening and comforting of his people, without vainly attempting to investigate the secret ways of the Most High. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. In Acts 20, all the depths of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, who has been his counselor? Romans 11. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, Romans 12, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope as set before us. So far, the reading of these articles of our faith as well as the scriptures. Let us now come before God and seek His blessing on this evening. Almighty Lord in heaven, what a blessing it is that Thou art far greater than we can ever understand. That Thou dost not need our counsel, our insight, or our solutions to the insurmountable problems that sometimes we face. And that this world is full of. Lord, what a great comfort to be reminded of this in the readings of this evening already. We are but small creatures of the dust. And Lord, we are struggling. The one feels it more than the other for the survival in the circumstances of life, facing the realities of a world that has gone into rebellion and lies under Thy righteous curse. And what a blessing that is, Lord, that we have set before us in Thy word the only refuge of hope. And we pray that as we tonight may hear Thy word and Thy voice of direction through this ancient prophecy of Isaiah, to people who may have been literally in very difficult and different circumstances than what we are perhaps today literally. And yet, Lord, who may be in circumstances that are in essence the same as us, at least that it is impossible from our side to remedy or change. And therefore, O God, inspire this night courage and encouragement in the very battles that some of us may struggle in this life's journey. Thy hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Nothing is impossible with Thee. Thy faithfulness also is not fickle. Thou art the most trustworthy being who keeps and holds Thy word despite our failings. And Lord, what a beautiful message art Thou giving us tonight in this chapter of Isaiah 40. We pray that Thou would bring this home personally to us. And especially to those of us here who may feel tossed and drained, who may, with the poet of old, say, I refused to be comforted. When I thought of God, I was troubled. When I reflected on His providential guidance, I was doubtful. And maybe such are there tonight, Lord, with us here. But for Thee there are no mountains too big, but neither are there needs too small for Thee to notice. What a touching picture, Lord, that Thou carries the Lamb in Thy bosom. Thou who created the heavens and the earth, have named the stars in their infinity, yet shows Thy concern not only for the little babies in Nineveh, but even noted to Jonah, there is even much cattle in that city. Even that did not escape Thy divine intention and compassion. And Lord, wilt Thou make this personal to us tonight too. That there is now nothing too big, but also nothing too small for Thee. Thou hast promised never to break the bruised reeds or the smoking flaxes of the people who are no more able to hold themselves and look to Thee for their help and for their refuge. And, O God, maybe some of us feel like that tonight, ready to sink under all the afflictions and trials and fearful to trust or powerless to trust as another wave comes over our life. And we beseech Thee, O God, that exactly in these circumstances, this word tonight may have a special comfort to us, to remind us of Thy faithfulness. And Lord, Thou knows what complicates the struggles that are fought in these difficult and disappointing circumstances. For we struggle with a nagging sense of guilt and of our shortcomings and failings, which brings home the truth that we are most unworthy, as we deserve all our troubles and sorrows. Those are self-made. But Lord, show us tonight, even what we read out of our canons, that there is a one-sidedness to Thy dealings. There is a one-sided motivation in Thy heart to show mercy and grace, despite how sinful and unworthy we are. Oh, grant us that liberating insight into the glory of Thy heart. That is not because we will, and not because we run, but it is of God that showeth mercy. Lord, there lies all our hope, that it is from Thy side, free and sovereign. And that gives us liberty also tonight to plead on the basis of that atoning work of Jesus Christ, that Thou would enrich our gathering this evening with Thy presence and power to bring home Thy truth in conviction, in comfort, in instruction or correction, or whatever else we need. Thou knows how to speak a word in season and accomplish Thy divine will also through this message tonight. And Lord, we pray that Thou would teach us to trust and to wait and to believe only, as Thou said to Jairus, believe Thou only. And how difficult that is, Lord, as we see the desert-like circumstances that we may face in our life. Teach us to persevere and to cling as that woman who ceased not in calling upon Thee, though Thou answered her not a word. And though the words that Thou spoke to her were discouraging rather than encouraging at first, and yet she clung to Thee. Son of David, have mercy upon me. And so, O God, we appeal to Thy throne and to Thy heart this evening. Have mercy upon us, especially those of us who go through the difficulties and trials of this life, that they who wait on Thee may learn to rejoice and sing and glory as Paul, who said that he felt Thy grace to be more sufficient than all the needs he ever faced. So, Lord, bless us tonight. Open our hearts and minds. Fix our attention from all the wanderings that we do in our mind, even while we sit in church, and even while we preach or pray or sing. Fix our heart, O God, that it may be fixed on Thee And as for this moment we may contemplate what Thou hast to say before we go again in our work week and face all the things that we face this week in our daily labors. And Lord, we cannot hide from Thee that there are times we feel despairing and very discouraged as we see the direction of our nation. We see the constant failings of leaders and fellow citizens and ourselves alike. As we see the direction that our nation goes nationally and internationally. And Lord, that we see the constant decay as we have recently again witnessed in the ruling of our highest court, which is grieving, and the rejection of Thy holy will and laws, all for the sake of convenience. O God, we pray for those who are in executive and legislative and judicial branches of our government, that Thou give them a deep and personal impression that one day they have to give an account to Thee, the King of Kings, of the stewardship of their governing, of their ruling, and of their sentencing. And O God, we uphold those before Thee who still uphold Thy highest and eternal laws in their places of authority. And we thank Thee that there are such voices still left, also within those areas of leadership and government. Though they may be a voice crying in the wilderness, will Thou let their voice have such penetrating conviction that consciences may be touched? And so, Lord, have mercy upon us and upon our nation. Turn us yet. And pour Thy Spirit upon us, Lord. Let a different wind blow through our country than there is blowing at the present. And that not only on the nation as itself, but also on the churches that used to trumpet forth Thy righteous word and truth from the pulpits in this nation. O God, wilt Thou rebaptize those very places where Thy word once was preached in all its purity, in all its strength, and cause a revival to come upon the very institutions where Thy word is preached. And so bless Thou all ministry, also those that are taking place in remote areas, in distant nations. We pray for our mission team in Bolivia. We pray for other mission teams around the world, sent out by other churches or denominations. Pray, O God, that Thou would look upon the persecuted church, and we thank Thee for the consistent message that puts us to shame, that comes from them in their joy, in suffering, and in their strength of confessing. And, O God, we know that there undoubtedly are also such who cave in under all the pressures and all the fears that they also will harbor. And we remember them before Thy throne tonight, that Thou again strengthen them to be strong in confessing Thy name. And so look upon us, Lord, also this week, as there is an outreach going to take place at the Fond du Lac Fair here in our own area. And some of us may be involved or may be observing there. But we pray indeed that those who will seek to distribute message of the Word of God and engage visitors in conversations that will appeal to their heart and conscience, Thou equip them, Lord. Thou would bless them. Thou would also give that the fruit of that may be that sinners may come to acknowledge their sinnership and may learn to flee into the hope of refuge in Jesus Christ. And so bless those, all those who may be involved in that work here locally in this week. And so, Lord, we look to Thee in all our personal, family, church needs. Blessings also are many, and we have received so much more than any of us deserve. Thanks to Thee, O gracious God. Help us then to hear and to obey Thy holy word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing Psalter 22. All three verses. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, thou God of grace? And what follows further in Psalter 22, and thereof the three verses. In the meantime, my mistake. In the meantime, we have a collection yet, and may the Lord bless you and your gifts. John Newton has the beautiful saying that the word disappointment is not found in the dictionary of faith, because all our disappointments are God's appointments. And though that is very true and very beautiful, it is also undeniable that the word disappointment and discouraged is certainly in the dictionary of the believer, as he lives and struggles on in the journey of his life, in the practice of life. Because our life will face its issues, its disappointments, and its struggles that vary from case to case, but are in essence the same when it comes to experiencing it as a mountain or as a deep valley, or as a crooked reality. And it is to that that Isaiah 40 is written. The people who are addressed in this chapter and in this portion of Isaiah are very discouraged. They are discouraged with themselves. They may have begun to see the very deepest reason why they are in the condition that they are. They are discouraged with their circumstances. And I take you a little bit familiar with the book of Isaiah, but for those who not, this is written to the people who are in the Babylonian captivity. I mean, the road is closed, Jerusalem is completely destroyed. They're in the hands of a mighty Babylonian power as a small little group of displaced refugees. So they're discouraged. You can just imagine. And maybe we sit here tonight discouraged also with the circumstances of your life. It could be health, it could be your aging, it could be the irreversible losses or realities. As Jacob himself felt, I go down to the grave with mourning, as he faced the reality of the loss of his son. So, a variety of things. But to this, God has a message. And that's what Isaiah 40 is all about. It's a really instructive, beautiful, comforting, uplifting message. And especially in those moments, we sometimes feel like asking the question of verse 27. Why speakest thou? Or why sayest thou, O Jacob, my way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from them? And we start calculating and adding all the things up in our lives. Sometimes you begin to say, God must not know about me. Or God must be against me. Or God must not be aware of where I am and what I'm facing. And then God is responding, why do you say that, O Jacob? Why do you speak, O Israel? Why do you think like that? Why do you talk like that? So you see, this chapter is God speaking through Isaiah to a discouraged people. And I would like to just conclude, or take the concluding verse tonight and set it out before you this evening. Verse 31. Where the promise is, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. It's a very well-known verse. See it printed on cards. See it printed on walls. See it printed all over the place. But let's now consider what it really says tonight. I feel it as a call of God to take courage. Who is it addressed to? Who are tonight to take courage? That's the first thought. Secondly, what is promised in this verse? What is God actually promising? And thirdly, why is this such a certain truth that they do not need to doubt? So, who are addressed? What is spoken? And why is what spoken so certain? Well, let's look at our text. Who are addressed? Let's see if you can find out the answer. Not just the Jews out in Babylon, because obviously they're not there anymore today. And this is a word of God to us. Not everyone who sits in this church can take this promise home tonight and say it all will be well. Not everyone in this church can say that tonight and just say, well, that's great, we'll be all good. No, it says clearly in our text that these people are they that wait upon the Lord. Early in the chapter, they're called Jacob and Israel. But here in this verse, they are more specifically described as people who are waiting on the Lord. They tonight may take home this promise and may face tomorrow and the future with confidence, with tremendous confidence. even though the circumstances may not even change sooner or later. But they that wait on the Lord. What are those people like who wait on the Lord? Obviously, there are people who are keenly aware of a few things. First of all, they have no resources to take care of their own problems. They're at the end of their rope when it comes to helping themselves. They're unable to change the situations that they're in, and they are convinced that their help must come from the outside of them. Now, that can be talking about a spiritual condition, and talk about a literal condition. In this case, it was both spiritual and literal. But maybe here this evening, you do not have necessarily any literal situations. You may have no financial situation. You may have no health situation. You may have no refugee situation. But you may just look at yourself spiritually and say, I'm at the end of my rope. I have tried everything to change myself to be a better person. I am working and working to overcome these sins in my life. I have tried, prayed, read, fasted, done it all to get rid of this burden. And I can't. I have no more ability to make myself any better than I am. I'm only beginning worse as I feel the harder I try. That may be a spiritual reality. And I hope that we recognize that. People that wait here are people who have no ability of themselves to deal with the desert-like circumstances within or without, or both. Now you can do two things. You can focus on your loss. You can focus on where you're lacking. Or you can do what this prophet is seeking to do. Lift up your eyes on high. Focus on God. And so those that are waiting on the Lord are focusing on the Lord already. Because they're waiting on Jehovah, it says in our text. So these people are keenly aware that God is the Almighty and the gracious helper that need. Now, is that you? In your struggles spiritually, in your struggles family, personally, whatever it may be, are you keenly aware that you are waiting on the Lord, looking to Him, depending on Him, seeking Him? You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean, then, wait on the Lord? What does that mean, waiting on the Lord? To wait, in our text, is a verb. It is an action of trusting. To wait on the Lord is to trust in Him. To wait is not just to sit in your chair and do nothing. That's not waiting. To wait on the Lord is to entrust your case on and on and on, again and again and again, to the Almighty God. And to give it over to Him. That's to wait on the Lord. Example? Let's give you a couple examples. Mark 5, I think it is, or 6. We read about this woman who has been struggling with a desert-like situation in her life for 12 years. Tried everything in the world to cure herself. Got nowhere except got worse. Now she was waiting on the Lord when she got out of her house and she walked through the crowd and she came to Jesus and touched the hem of the garment. That's waiting on the Lord. She trusted Him and she, as it were, laid her need at the very feet of Jesus. That's waiting. Waiting is not just to sit there and do nothing and wait. Waiting is laboring at the throne of grace. I'll give you another example. Here's a woman who has a daughter who is grievously vexed with the devil. See, here's Jesus in the area, and she comes after Jesus, and she calls after him, and she calls after him, and he answers her not a word. She's waiting on the Lord. As she keeps on following him, she's waiting on the Lord. When she bows at his feet, Lord, have mercy upon me. She's waiting on the Lord. When she bows and says, no, I am not worthy a single crumb, but I still beg for one. That's waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is a spiritual activity of the heart in which I constantly place my hope outside of myself on Jehovah. That's seeking him. That's entrusting him. That is giving it over to him. That's waiting. Is that you? Waiting on the Lord. And of course, such truly waiting people do at times experience great discouragement. Why? Well, sometimes God doesn't answer. Think of that woman in Matthew 15. I'll preach on that someday to you. But it was one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. Jesus just walked right on, as if he didn't hear her. Yeah, that's a challenge, isn't it? That's a real trial of her faith. And so you may be waiting on the Lord and laying this question before God, and you've been praying about the situation. You've been asking him. You've been crying about it to him. And it lays at his feet and nothing changes. Abraham would have understood that. Waited on God for a child. Years go by. Nothing happens. Except he got old and his wife got too old. There are times indeed that God also waits while we are waiting. And he has his divine reasons for that, friends. He has his divine wisdom in letting us sometimes wait. Or letting us continue with the situation that we're in. Maybe he has more to teach you about yourself. Maybe he has a few more things that he wants to discover to you about yourself. And it is exactly in those trial times and difficult times that we get the deepest insights, what lives inside of his heart. And when we get the purest understanding of why we need Jesus Christ. That's only when we go through these waiting struggle times. Indeed, the Israelites in Isaiah 40 discover a real discouragement time. They have been waiting upon God for nearly 60 years or so, and nothing is happening. Yes, God had said 70 years indeed, but they are waiting for this, for the Lord to move, and God is not doing anything so far. And maybe you sit here tonight. Say, you know, Pastor, you just don't know how many times I have laid that need, that disappointment, that situation before God's feet. I have cried about it. I have repeatedly told the Lord about it. And I have committed it to him. And nothing happens. Just goes on year after year. Goes on day by day. Never changes. I can understand that you feel discouraged. I would too. I can understand that you begin to ask, I don't know, what is the purpose of all this? I can understand that you begin sometimes to wonder, is it really all true what the Bible says? I can understand that sometimes that question comes in your mind. I wonder if it's all mind games and nothing more. For nothing is changing, even though I sincerely, or at least I try sincerely to pray about it. I'm on your page. I know where you are. These people know where you are too, by the way. They say, oh, our way is hid from the Lord, and our way is... it is beyond help. And our judgment is passed over from God. And later on they say, and the Lord, he has forgotten about us. And he has just left us in this situation. And who knows what other doubts these people may have struggled with. But one thing, friends, they stay real close to you and me. For there's not anyone who doesn't go through these trial times that will experience what these people experienced. But now God has a word for you. If you are one of those that are waiting on the Lord, if you are one of those who says, yes, I know the place where I have laid it before Him, not once, not twice, not 10 times, maybe 100 times. I know where I have committed it to God. I know. Well, then God has a word to you. He says, but those that wait on the Lord shall. What is that one word? Shall. Not maybe. Might be. Shall. There's an absolute certainty here. There is an unbelievable certainty here. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. What is the promise that God gives? Well, there are several of them in this chapter, in this verse. They that wait on the Lord. He says, I shall renew their strength. That implies something. That implies that they're exhausted. That implies that they have, that their strength is depleted. I just hear that person say that to me. Last week I visited a couple who've taken care for a handicapped brother for how many years? And that man just died a few years ago. He was 72 or so at that stage. Completely dependent. And this is an older couple. And they said to me, they were just every day, it was like one day. Lord, I need to start again today. So I could just feel them, how depleted these people were as they carried this load of this handicapped brother. Day by day and night by night. I had to get him clean 2 times, 3 times a day and night and so on. Now this word, they shall renew their strength. The word renew means revive or restore. I will renew and I will continue to increase their strength that they need to continue what? To wait on me. That's first of all. Because God it may not be His time yet to deliver you. It may not be the time yet that you think. I have to admit that sometimes I have a much more faster agenda than God about when to solve things and when to reverse situations. But we have to learn that we're not on our timetable, congregation. We live on His. He is the sovereign disposer of our life. But He promises that those who will wait on Him will have enough strength to face the whole long journey till the end. I shall renew their strength. What strength? Well, sometimes simply the strength to believe. Sometimes just the strength I need to trust Him. That He still is in control. That He still is leading my life. What strength we need for that? Especially when these things do not add up as we look at our life circumstances. How difficult it is to trust God on a journey that goes through the valley deeper and deeper. That hits the mountain and goes to the next valley, the next mountain. And then again, trust as you feel everything is exhausted inside. Now, look at this. God is promising here this evening that He shall renew your strength. Also the strength to submit to God's ways. To endure the afflictions that He leads us through. He shall renew the strength to do your duties joyfully and faithfully. And to continue to do it humbly. And to do what He asks you to do. He will. He will not let you down. He will not let those down that wait on Him. I shall renew their strength. Secondly, He says, I will make you mount up with wings as eagles. Now, we know how eagles fly. We see them sometimes in our skies as they soar up to those incredible heights. And it seems so easy for them. As they just soar effortlessly up, it appears, and just circle on these heights. God says, I will cause you to mount up with wings as eagles. You don't even have to fly yourself. I will lift you out and up and up and up. So God promises that He will lift those people who wait on Him out of the tumults, out of the circumstances, and makes us soar above it all. I think Paul experienced that when he writes Philippians 4. When he writes, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. It's like the eagle, as it were, has taken him above the circumstance of the prison. And this man is looking at his whole life journey behind him. And he says, look, God is at every part of it. God hands, let's rejoice together in these circumstances. Now friends, that's a moment where I think Paul has been lifted up on these wings of these eagles, as it were, above all the trials and the circumstances that he faces. Perhaps there's another reason, or another meaning to this. You know, when I soar up in the sky on the airplanes, and I sit there in these high 30,000 feet heights, things on the earth never look as big as they look when you're down on the earth. They look different. And maybe this is what God means. I will make you soar up as an eagle. And when you're up there, you'll get a whole different perspective of the journey I'm leading you through. Maybe that's what Jesus... That's connected with what Jesus says, you do not know what I'm doing now. But you shall know it hereafter. It's like when you're up there in the height, and you look back and you see later, yes, maybe this is what Joseph experienced when all of a sudden he sees his brothers coming there, and he soared up on his eagle's wings, and he sees the whole puzzle fall together of all these years in prison, separated from his family. And he says, now I know. God meant it for good, what you meant for evil. See, that's that experience of being uplifted on the eagle. And I am sure that every one of God's children will join the choir of the church up in heaven when they look back and they will say, He has done all things well. We're not done yet with this promise. He shall renew their strength. You shall mount up with eagles' wings. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. To follow God's will, congregation, is never easy. Take up the cross. Deny yourself. To follow through the difficult journeys, it's not easy. That takes not only mental energy and emotional energy, spiritual energy, physical energy. It takes every ounce out of you. It's an uphill battle. It's not just flowing against the stream of circumstances. No, no. You know what the hardest part of it is? It's what goes on inside. The unbelief, the unwill, the rebellion, the doubts, the selfishness. This is the battle inside of the battle of the afflictions that those who go through will know. It is that which here also is spoken of. You will run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. You see,
We're not only fighting against the circumstances, we're fighting against sin and Satan and self in these circumstances. We're fighting sometimes against the very friends and family that we're with. As we go through the difficulties, and God says, look, you who wait on me, I will make you run and you will not be weary. I'll make you face the battles and you will not be fainting anymore. I think of Paul again. What inward battles and outward battles did that man face? But as he waited on God and as he followed God, I see him running to the end. Never weary under all the pressures that he faced. Beautiful, isn't it? What God is here this evening speaking to the encouragement of the battle-weary waiter. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up, shall run, shall walk, and not faint. You say, oh, that's all nice words. Those are all nice words, but that won't happen. The reality is different. I see it around me, I see it within me. Well, let's consider in our last thought, what's the certainty of this promise? Let's sing first together with Psalter 355. It speaks about God's protecting grace. And then you already have a little hint about what the certainty of it all is. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, waiting on Him, like Zion's mount abiding shall never be overthrown. Let's sing all three verses. 355.
An everlasting peace.
Beautiful words, beautiful promises. But what's the certainty of it? What's the guarantee that this will indeed be the portion of those that wait upon the Lord? And congregation, then I need to go back to you, with you, to the context of this verse. The certainty is the one who speaks this. It's not Isaiah. It's not Isaiah at all, of course. It is only the mouth of the Lord who speaks this. Thus saith the Lord. That's how the chapter begins. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And all through this chapter, God is speaking. And what does God do in this chapter to encourage these waiters and these strugglers? He says, now look away from your problems. Look away from your situations. And place your hope and trust on me alone. I am the Almighty. And the whole point of this glorious passage is indeed stop worrying and start again and again trusting. We read it tonight. Every Sunday night we read it. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. Do you really believe that? That's what God is asking, not me. Do you really believe that? That I am the Almighty, the God of heaven and earth? You see, this whole chapter, God does that. He's telling us over and over in this chapter, I am really the Almighty. You don't have to worry. You don't have to concern yourself. You trust it to me and I will make it work. I will bring it all to pass. And friends, He did. We stand behind the history of this chapter. He did open the door. He let him out of those most dire circumstances of Babylon. Brought him back to Jerusalem. He did restore. He did indeed open the way. He led the blind in a way they didn't know. He did take them out of the hand of the mighty power because God is mightier. So don't say this evening, it will never happen. The situation I face is unfixable. The obstacles are too big. You may think that if there is no Almighty. But you may not think that in the face of the reality of what God says in this chapter. He says, look to me. Look up. Consider who I am. Now look, open your scriptures please to this chapter and see what God is really saying to us. I'm not going to expound every verse, but this chapter is so beautiful. He gives us a fivefold argument. By which he, as it were, reasons with our mind not to distrust him, to do what he promised in the last verse. And the first one is in verse 12 to 14. And that is that he is greater than all the world he has created. I just love the picture that Isaiah puts before us. Who has measured the waters of the earth? In the hollow of his hand. How much water is on the earth, kids? There's a lot of water out there. 2/3 of the whole world is water. And it all fits, as it were, in the hollow of God's hand. It's just a picture. Who has meted out the heaven with the span? How immeasurable is the universe? Who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in the balance? I want you to notice for a moment how many questions are in this chapter. You haven't noticed that? I counted them. I don't know if I wrote it down somewhere, how many questions there are in this chapter, but many. Why? Because God wants you to think with Him. You need to stop every time you read a question and answer it. That's where your Bible reading becomes more profitable because now you're in dialogue with God. Who measured that? The waters. Who weighed? Oh, God did. God does. Who directed the Spirit of the Lord? Nobody. You think you can? You think your plans, your thoughts, your ideas are better about your life? Who has been His counselor? Who counseled God to create? Who counseled God to govern? No, nobody is. So do you think that you can do it better? So you see how God is reasoning with us. With whom took He counsel? Nobody. He is far greater than all the world that He created. And the world of your problems and of your needs and of your circumstances. He's much greater than that too. And it didn't take God very much labor, did it, to create the whole universe out of nothing. Now in verse 15 to 17, He takes a different argument. He says, I'm much greater than all the nations of the earth. And I can imagine that those Jews there in their political situation were rather despairing. They were a bunch of refugees. Really, they weren't refugees. They were captive. Just a small group of foreigners living in this massive superpower of the Babylonian captivity. I mean, later in the chapter of Isaiah 49, I think it is, we get this question, who shall take the prey from the mighty? Who? Think of that little mouse, children, in the hand of a big lion. Israel's a little mouse, and Babylon is a big lion. So they look at these circumstances and say, Lord, this is beyond us. This is impossible. We can never get out of this. We cannot face this. God says, look, in verse 15, the nations are a drop of a bucket. To me, they are. The nations are counted as the dust of the balance. I take up the islands as this very little thing. Lebanon, the big mountain, everything, and all the nations before my eyes, nothing, and counted to me less than nothing in vanity. God only has to, and Babylon is gone. I need to hear that. I need to be reminded of that as I look at my desert-like circumstances. Maybe you're saying that tonight. I've been there, even though at this moment I'm not in a desert-like circumstance. But when you face those situations, internally, outwardly, two things you can do. You can look and stare and ponder and reason and delve into all the losses and the needs and the circumstances and sit there. That's not what God wants you to do. If He says that to us in verse 26, lift up your eyes on high. Behold Him who created all things. You know, congregation, I don't know how often I've stood outside doing that at night. Doing exactly that. Looking at these stars and these vast regions beyond. And here it says, behold, He created that bringeth out their host by number, and every one of those uncountable stars has a name, it says here. I think you run out of names, but not God. By the greatness of His might, He that is strong in power, not one faileth. So what God wants you to do when you face these circumstances. Go look at the book of nature. That's what He says here. If you can't read my Bible, if you can't believe that, then go read the book of nature once and study it again and look up. These things are so massively powerful and great. You don't think I can take care of your little problem? Trust me. Those that wait on me, you do well, you will not be disappointed. Now, obviously, in verse 18 to 20, God takes one more argument. He says, don't look at the idols. They're all vain.
Don't build your hopes on the people, on the nations, on others that help you. And that's what Israel was doing all along. Then they looked at Egypt, and then they tried to make a leak with Assyria. And then they did that again, and God said, that's useless. Those are all self-made helpers. I am not like them. I don't need to be made. I don't need to be covered. I am the one who sits upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants of the earth are as grasshoppers, greater than all the mighty of the earth. I need to hear that, don't you? We see this development in our nation, which is discouraging. We just saw one of the blackest pages of United States history take place last 2 weeks ago. When a Supreme Court dares to make a decision as they did, with the very law of God carved in the very back of the wall of the Supreme Court building. One of the darkest days we've just gone through. And we think, where is this going to end? When a nation that was built on the foundations of God's Word now is one after the other cutting away those very foundations. Well, there is no future for this country. There is indeed no future. We who left God will be left by God. But there is a future for those who in this country wait on the Lord. There may be small remnant. They may have hard times ahead. They may go through Babylonian captivity style conflictions, whatever it may be. Because remember, there were those in Israel before the Babylonian captivity who were taken along to Babylon at the same rate. They were kept in the palms of His hands. Those that wait on the Lord, they have a future, even in a country like ours. God is greater than the vast universe. And adding up all these evidences, friends, spells one phrase, living hope. God has proved Himself over and over. That's why we read in this book the story of Noah. That's why we read the story of Abraham. That's why we read the story of David. That's why we read the story of Rahab. The story of Ruth. The story of Hannah. That's why we read the story of Joseph and so on. All people who ran into problems that were unsurmountable, but who stayed their hopes on God and came out victorious. So will you. If you continue to wait on the Lord, and He will assure that those that wait on Him will continue to wait on Him. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's our comfort. Whatever God may do with this message tonight, I do not know. But it's on my heart to preach this evening. Struggling, perhaps tonight, exhausted, overcome, overwhelmed, not knowing how to get going at the next day. Friends, if you are not one of those described by these few words this evening, waiting on the Lord. If you are one of those who can run your race in your own strength, you can find the resources in your own abilities, you can manage without God, then you got no future. And there comes a day that you will come at the end of it all. But those in our midst tonight who've come at the end of their own resources, spiritually, personally, and have no other place but to bow continually with those empty hands, those needy hearts, with those wobbly knees, with those weakened bodies and weakened souls, waiting on the very Lord Jehovah, you have reason to be of great comfort and to be of good courage. Wait on the Lord, and He shall strengthen thine heart. That's the message tonight. Comfort ye, my
people who are waiting in these circumstances. For you shall renew your strength. You shall mount up. You shall run and not be weary. And you shall walk and not faint. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we trust Thee to also use this message tonight as Thou hast used it throughout the very ages of this world already. This verse has been such a comfort to so many strugglers throughout their journeys. Thou seest fit to lead them through. And help us, Lord, tonight to follow the very directions that this prophet gave us, reassuring us that those that wait on Thee shall not wait in vain. Reminding us that when we wait on Jehovah, we wait on a God who has not only all the resources, but who Himself is the Almighty. And Lord, comforting that Thy word indeed shall be surely fulfilled. But as it has always been, always in a different way than we ever could think out ahead of time. And Lord, so help us to go forward, especially those of us who may have walked in here tonight with sinking hearts and with weakening strength and despairing inside. We just beseech Thee, O God, to let this scripture this evening be a real comfort and a guide and encouragement in the days and weeks onward. So we pray that Thou would bless us as we begin this work week. Tomorrow will Thou guide us again as we take up our daily labors. Bless us in our families, those who are at home with their children. Pray, Lord, for those who also are standing alone in the task of parenting, solo moms particularly, who face this battle and burden on their own. And so, Lord, there are so many needs around us. Help us have an open eye for it. To carry out also the message that we were given this morning. Forgive us our many sins. And hear us again in Jesus' name. Amen. 73 will be the closing Psalter. 1, 3, 5, and 6 are the verses of this Psalter. The Lord Almighty is my light, is my Savior ever near. So 1, 3, 5, and 6. mercy show. And then my life is grace should know, nor was my hope deceived. Fear not, though succor be delayed, still wait for God and He will hear. Be strong, nor be thy heart dismayed. Wait, and the Lord shall bring thee aid. Yea, trust and never fear. Praise God, the Lord, our Father's God. King of kings, who only is omnipotent, performing wondrous things. Glorious receive the Lord's blessing now, and let us go in peace together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.